You do the intro.
Hello, I will do the intro. Hello and welcome to the So Toxipod episode X of season three. Not 10 to be clear, I don't know.
Titled, It's Been a While.
It's been a while. We are back post Monaco Grand Prix, and we'll give you our full emotional reaction today. At least that's the main purpose of the show. I know we skipped another race recently,
Yeah, we skipped Spain.
which
Which was honestly my fault. I've just been absolutely swamped with everything in life. But we had a double header episode, right? A few weeks ago with Cigar Club and our reaction to the Imola Grand Prix, which was
exactly.
delayed a week. We recorded actually on the day. Just didn't upload it until a week later.
We don't have our social media team lined up yet. That's kind of the issue
Yeah,
there.
Listen, you know what you signed up for.
Exactly. Good news is, however, though, we have a doubleheader again this week of episodes because we will have an artist from Prague who tours the bars there and is starting to build up a little bit of a local networking scene. You will join us on the pod next week, Sunday, or this coming Sunday.
Yeah,
Um,
fifth, right?
so that'll be exciting. Yep.
Fifth of June. Neat.
So look forward to a good conversation there and some perspective from an American musician living in Prague, which is
You know
not
what?
every day
An
you see that.
American musician living in Prague has the same vibe as, what was it, a werewolf living in London? That 80s movie.
Has a ring to it, like a nice title of something.
It's Chlier showed me that song actually that movie many years ago, An American Werewolf Living in London. That's it. And he's like, because he's a big 80s movies fan, Chlier, who was on episode 4 or season 1 or something like that, and he kept saying, yeah, this is a really great movie, it's got werewolves in it, you're gonna love it. And I watched it, and it was just lacking every piece of movie making that you could. But
Terrible in
it was
short.
oddly fun. You know, it's one of those movies that, I mean, he watches it and like has genuine feelings over it. And I was just like, yeah, this is fun. You know, it's not good, but it's fun.
Sharknado
No,
fun.
Sharknado's different. Sharknado's fun because it's hot garbage. This was fun because it's weird and quirky and 80s.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I gotta watch Sharknado again. I can't believe there's six of those movies.
Really?
Yeah, you'd figure after the second one, they'd do some R&D development for weather and try to keep sharks out of the sky. But
Man, I don't think I ever
six.
watched more than the first one, actually.
I only stumbled across them because they were the worst rated movie on Netflix.
Really?
Back in the day when Netflix had stars, they had half
That's
a star.
insane. I got a DVD many years ago, but got back ages ago when we used to drive on holiday when I was a kid. My parents had gotten like their first laptop, you know, that's how long ago it was, and it had a DVD player, so they'd give me the laptop in the back of the car, and I'd get to go to the local video rental place, and I'd buy my, you know, they'd allow me to like buy 10 euros worth of like bargain bin DVDs. So I've watched a lot of bad movies in my time, and one of them was called like Viverns. I think it was just called Viverns actually. And it had horribly animated CGI Viverns, kind of Sharknado-esque, but horror movie, and it took itself seriously. It was bad.
Sounds about as bad as the weather yesterday in Monaco, right before to segue it. To have a nice segue. Speaking of bad, the weather was bad in Monaco, which is rare.
Which was great, which is
Which
honestly so nice.
so many things have come out about the beginning of the race since it started and was communicated of like
Yeah.
why. It's amazing. So essentially what happened is I started watching like half an hour before the race was supposed to start, and to get the pre-coverage in. And 10 minutes before, when the cars are being pushed onto the grid, it starts raining and it just continuously gets worse. So we're a couple of minutes before the race, and the formation lap was supposed to take place when they announce it's going to be delayed by like 6 minutes or 5 minutes, the start of the formation lap, which is the warm-up lap they'd essentially do before they actually start the race.
Yeah.
And the reason of this wasn't really clearly given until the next delay was then announced, a further delay, because of bad weather. Because at that point, then 10 minutes on from the first delay, it really was bad weather, or 15 minutes on, whatever it may be. And it was really not possible. Eventually you saw them, the drivers then come out for a formation lap, but it was so wet that they decided to, I think, wait another bit. But in the aftermath, it turns out it was initially only delayed because this caused a little bit of controversy. Why not let them race for a little bit of time at the beginning of the race until the weather is too terrible to continue? These are the best in the world after all. I was thinking the same thing, kind of like, let them go.
Yeah.
The power outage occurred at like the whole Monaco Grand Prix. So like,
oh really?
Weather
radars were broken.
No, weather radars were broken. You know how everybody was considering, like, why are they not just doing a standing start at the beginning, or why not like again? Well, because the fucking lights didn't work anymore. They stopped working the lights at the start, and like
that's
all the stuff
hilarious.
Broke down. So they had to, and they didn't communicate it, which is so funny after the year we've had last year in terms of like transparency of the stewards and reasons given, make sure everybody's in the clear. No, they're just going to make up and wait for a new reason to delay the race start. So that was a really funny kind of start to it. And it got everybody a little bit more excited, looking forward to a race that is usually more dull in terms of excitement of watching.
Man, I will go this far and I'll say this was the most exciting race I've watched since Bahrain, since the season opener.
Yeah, and it was more because of all the other things that happened than the actual...
There was just so much going on, you know,
itself.
Like the once the race, you know, everything before the race is one thing, you know, and then the race starts and we see wildly different tire strategies. People are, you know, pit crews are getting chaotic. Drivers make calls, discuss with the engineers live on television. You know, it's great.
Well, because it was great. No one was prepared for wet weather.
Weirdly. Yeah.
All teams were caught off guard. And a moment that highlighted this right when they were about to start racing initially and they were on the starting grid, Leclerc communicated to his engineer saying, hey, could you please quickly give me an iPad and with the last wet race in Monaco to like just see how he takes the line.
Hilarious.
It shows you like zero sim work went into it. It's
hilarious, insane. Honestly.
So that was quite an interesting impact. And yeah, you had cars, but like teams with three or four different types of tires out at the same time, which was really interesting to see because especially at the back of the field, there was a lot of interesting movement going on because there was a lot more or a lot less risk to take higher reward strategies, such as Gasly, I think, profited most off it going early on to the slicks. And then I think he started in 17th. He finished in 11th. So solid. Yeah. But yeah, let's get into the race. So the race finally starts on a rolling start behind the
safety car. Yeah, which was boring as hell.
Fucking boring. On a track where you get like five overtakes in total if you're lucky. So the start was taken away. And we raced for a little bit. Maybe you want to cover that period, but essentially Leclerc dominated in that period and really pulled away.
It was really interesting. I was keeping track of the interval times. And Leclerc at some point was 3 seconds ahead of Sainz in second. And then him and the Red Bulls were kind of close. But you could really tell Leclerc kind of, even though he probably wasn't pushing incredibly hard, he was still kind of pulling away. Where Sainz didn't do that either on purpose or not. But I just thought that was really interesting, you know? How quick Leclerc was out there in the beginning and how little it mattered in the end.
Yeah, to no fault of his own, because we jumped straight to the race here, but in qualifying and practice, he was the fastest man for the whole weekend. Like, he did a great job.
For sure.
But to your point about intervals between Sainz and Leclerc, it was pretty clear very early on, Sainz made the call to, like, skip the inter tire.
Yeah.
And so maybe that had an effect on the time differences they were doing. Maybe he was saving his tires at like the extreme wets a little longer because he had to keep them longer, or he was in his mind already calculating that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that was 17 laps we saw the first go around.
Something like that, huh?
Not close to halfway finish.
Some teams changed for inters in the first lap behind the safety car.
Yeah.
You know, so however you want to break up the race, except for the crash, is, you know, you can't really break it up by tire strategy. As well, there were kickoff moments, like people were all over the place. It was lovely.
Yep, agreed. Well, then we come into what's the next point? I guess Ferrari's big mistake.
Yeah, Ferrari's tire strategy, yeah, because they pit Leclerc to kind of exploit. Pit Leclerc onto inters first to exploit the interface because they see the Red Bulls do it, or they figure the Red Bulls are going to do it. And then a few laps later, Sainz goes, "Oh, you know what? I want to try slicks now." Paraphrasing, and then they go, "Oh, well, you know, we're going to put Leclerc on slicks as well," and they just fuck it up. That was the big mistake. And then a few other things played into it, but suddenly Perez was in the lead of the fucking race, you know?
Which was so confusing because, like, all four cars pitted in a time, like, really short time window.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the order was completely thrown off. And
yeah,
it was like, wait, Perez just gained so much ground. How did that happen?
I remember at some point after the first pit stops onto the inter, so Sainz hadn't pitted yet. I remember looking at it and going, well, Perez is a net first here. Leclerc's in net fourth. They're all on inters. They have to pit again. But Sainz is in front. He has to pit. He's on wet, so he's definitely got to pit at some point. And I thought, I remember texting it in the group chat, and I was like, "Hey, is Perez in net first position here? Like, does he have a real shot at first here?" And in hindsight, it was yeah, he did.
He had a fucking chance.
He'd driven himself into a position where, if they got the pit stop right, and he got slightly lucky, I think. Peter Windsor figured out the math. Perez was 1.6 seconds ahead of Sainz when he came out of the pits. And Sainz got held up by Latifi a tiny bit. So I don't really know if in the end...
Quite a bit.
Well, I mean... You can watch the onboard, you know? And I mean, he should have let him past 100%. And it probably Sainz would have been out in front. But I wouldn't overestimate how much time he lost there.
Ferrari's probably looking at Williams this weekend and saying it's their fault that this happened.
Yeah, but really...
Because, here, another fun fact in terms of Latifi not letting Sainz pass, especially because that was clear. Like, right when he came out, he then re-overtook him, which kind of sucked. But Leclerc's outlap, Albon got blue flag 21 times.
Yeah,
in a 76 lap, a second lap.
And my favorite reaction was Albon too being confronted with that fact. And he went, "Well, I stayed ahead of him because it was quicker for both of us." Well, clearly, Alex, it wasn't.
He had a bad weekend, man.
Leclerc and Albon both, yeah.
Well, Leclerc did good driving-wise on his part. He didn't really do anything wrong.
Here's a fun idea. I know I put this in the group chat already. But Charles Leclerc still hasn't finished a full race distance Grand Prix in Monaco.
The streak continues. He did get fourth.
At least not in a Formula One car.
Last year, I'm sure he would have taken that. This year, it's kind of disappointing, especially the context it came under.
I mean, he would have for sure deserved first place, right? But in the end, you know, shit happens.
This is another thing which I think we rarely would say about a race is that the top four all deserve to win.
Yeah, yeah.
And we saw this, if we skip towards the end of the race, the last, because basically a race window only takes, the race window is 3 hours. You have 3 hours to complete a 2-hour race. And if it gets to the end, you just race down the time and you take out the laps. And that's essentially what happened. So we had a timer up there instead of a lap count.
Yeah.
So with about 10 minutes to go, the top four cars which was the two Ferraris and the Red Bulls, they were about 6 seconds apart, and a minute and a half later, they were nose to nose. And it was amazing just to watch that for 7-8 minutes straight, just to see how close they were and just really trying to get everything out on that tricky of a track in not the best conditions. So that was really fun. That really good racing, really good highlight. No overtakes needed. It was plenty of fun. And then another good battle that happened towards the end was, or I think it was overlooked a little bit by the TV broadcast, which is another talking point, I think. They did not do a good job this weekend. But Norris only finished like 0.2 seconds behind Russell at the end.
Yeah.
Remember, he pitted an extra time because he had the time just to play it safe and, you know, go for the fastest lap, which he did get. But he ended up shaving down 26 seconds in like 10, 15 minutes really, really, really quickly.
But there's an interesting thing about Monaco. When Alonso was keeping up the field, Albon, I forgot why. I think he either had a pit stop or an off or something. He was some like 18 seconds behind the field, and he got down to 1 second within a few laps, you know? I feel like that in Monaco, these cars were able to be in clean air, they were able to be so much faster than they were behind another car, which, duh, but, you know, to,
that'd
to
be
an
interesting comparison, because they seemed faster in clean air than past cars, and it'd be interesting to see, like, those time comparisons. Yeah, the other thing you just brought up, another topic point, is the Alonso train,
yeah,
which featured heavily, which was an interesting race strategy by him. Kind of fuck everyone else, and I'm going to sit here in seventh and chill. And he basically went really slow, five seconds per lap slower for quite a chunk of time. And Hamilton was the one who was, I think, most frustrated by it, because he was right behind him. And at one point there was the track map that kind of shows where all the drivers are. And yeah, you had the top, what, six in one corner, and on the other side of the field, you had the rest of the cars all trailing Alonso.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he built out quite a big gap, I guess, to the lead, but in a negative way. And then what's crazy is, because people were thinking it's just to save tires, all of a sudden he just took off, and he was like 4 seconds quicker on his next lap that he tried a bit harder. And then he was away from Lewis and he had no more pressure for the rest of the race. So that worked out well for him.
That was an interesting thing. And Alonso came out after the fact and said he was doing this because he'd been told that he really needed to conserve tires and that it was looking really dire. And then at some point, everyone realized, well, actually, I think he can make it to the end of the race on these tires. And he was just, well, let's go.
Adios.
Yep.
Awesome. Who else had a good drive? Any other?
I'll tell you who didn't have a good drive was Esteban Ocon. He got a bit screwed over.
What's your take on his situation? How about you? I'm assuming you're talking about the penalty.
Yeah, so I have two thoughts on it. The first one is, I don't think I actually saw the incident where for which he got penalized.
Again, because the broadcast didn't really cover it.
Because the one I think most people are thinking of is the one into turn one with Hamilton kind of outbreaking himself. And then, you know, and in that incident, I would have thought that Ocon was fully in the right? That was his corner. He was more than a car length ahead. But as far as I understand, that wasn't the incident he got penalized for. That was another one, which I don't think I've seen. So I can't actually comment on it too much.
They only showed a really quick replay of it on the broadcast, which is another point to bring up with them. But basically, I forget which part of the track it was, but there's a sort of outside corner and Hamilton went in on the inside.
Yeah.
And there's an unspoken rule at Monaco that if you're basically at 50% at least of the car on the inside, that you are given enough space, and Ocon didn't, but apparently, like, he was in the wrong for that, but not to the degree of getting a 5-second penalty.
Gotcha.
That's what the general opinions have seemed like that I've read on it. I think in a race like Monaco, where we see with Ferrari, where they're trying to do the double stacking and they don't get the timing right between Sainz and Leclerc, right? That's why Leclerc lost another like 3 seconds on that pit stop. The punishment is so severe for so little time on this specific track. I think there should have been more leniency. I don't know if less time penalties can be applied, like 3 seconds. I think 3 seconds are given. I don't know if the new rules have been changed to that. But those kind of things, I think, would have been better there. Because 5 seconds was rough, man.
I think 5 seconds is the lowest thing they can give. I think 3 seconds is only in the Formula One games.
Okay, that makes sense. But like 5 seconds in this race seemed like too much. And
yeah, nothing, he went down to 12
too little. Yeah, he went down to 12. And that was also due to Alonso train, right? Because he kind of racked up the whole field. So everybody was really close together. And
yeah,
kind of killed off Esteban's chances, who, from a driving standpoint, did a pretty good job.
Yeah, he didn't have a bad race. He was in a good position until that happened.
He did okay. He kept his spot. Obviously, the thing with Hamilton isn't good. No, it's on him. But I do think he got a bit severely punished. Someone else who got a bit severely punished for a tiny mistake was Schumacher again.
Yep.
Who did we
find out what caused the crash?
My latest standpoint is, like, nothing's come out yet regarding car failure or something, but he went maybe 5 or 10 centimeters too far left coming out of that corner, and there was a wet patch there and his tire just went, and that was essentially the whole thing of the crowd. Like, interesting. It's almost unpredictable. But again, like Joe, for example, right?
Yeah, he had a hell of a save there.
He had a similar issue and he saved it. We see Sainz, he saved it. Schumacher didn't save it. Yeah. Maybe that's an unfair comparison, but man, I hope he still gets another chance next year.
Yeah, he's just got to start performing, you know. Let's think. What was his best result P11. Last year? Hungary, right?
Oh, you mean there? Yeah, that could be.
So let's.
Yeah, but that was only because of the craziness of the race. Yeah,
that's true.
But he's had a couple of good races, but the big crashes are not good for the team he's on.
Yeah,
like and other teams.
At the times where the car was really in a position to get points, he didn't.
Exactly. And Haas, for example, like the budget cap is 145 million. Haas doesn't have 145 million. They don't even reach that. So it's rougher on them. And the last time he cut his car in half, it cost the team $1 million. So it's rough, but I hope he still gets another year. And this is viewed more as a rookie season. But if he finishes the season with 0 points, that's not good.
Yeah, for sure.
But I doubt that happens, to be honest.
We're seven races in, right? Which is almost a third.
Yeah.
Well, which is actually more than a third. So you gotta wonder, when's he gonna start?
21 races. It's exactly a third now.
Yeah. Because where's the Haas car particularly strong?
Well, I think we gotta look more for crazy races where he doesn't get caught up in it and capitalizes. So yeah, I mean, Hungary, Baku, maybe.
Where are we gonna go next? Yeah, Baku, right? So
Baku could be
there. Good. I'd say that the Red Bull is the clear favorite because it has a top speed advantage.
But then again, Mick isn't a fan of street circuits.
Yeah, true.
Monaco, Jeddah. So maybe something with a bit more running.
And
space.
I don't think because there's no clear like engine favorite, you know, like the engine with the most horsepower. So I think the Honda engine is fast, but the reason the Red Bull is so quick in a straight line is because they have that figured out aerodynamically. Otherwise, the AlphaTauri would show like a clear straight line advantage as well. So I don't know who else could have their aero down super well.
Me neither.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's the Haas for sure.
In general, we'll have to see how Ferrari responds, the team, because I think they're rattled now.
Yeah, they gave up a 40 points.
And the last two race finishes have not been on Leclerc; they've been fully on the team.
Yeah,
engine failure, right, in Spain. Yeah. DNF there, gave a bunch of points to Verstappen.
Yeah,
and then we had Monaco, with team strategy call that only cost them a few points. To be fair. But every point matters, especially when now this scenario has allowed a third person to enter the title
race. Yeah. Paris was 20 points behind Verstappen before this race, right? And he's just pulled out 10 points on.
He was 25 points. So he's 15 points behind Verstappen, who's in first. And between the two is Leclerc on 100 and I don't know what.
Yeah. Points. So that's actually like getting kind of close.
It's close. It's a 15 point spread. And Verstappen had a way bigger deficit and erased it quickly. So it seems closer so far this season, which is nice. Any other things you want to point out in the race?
Let's think. I was kind of disappointed by Vettel. I mean, he had a good race, right? But he started in ninth and he finished in 10th. And it just feels like there was so much drama and so much activity going on in his race between all that for that
and nothing really
to
happened.
Be nothing. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of a shame. I feel like Ricardo had a relatively solid race. He was just in a bad position to start with.
Yeah, he qualified bad. That was the thing. And that's like 80% of it in Monaco.
Yeah. I was disappointed. The Alfa Romeos kept saying, yeah, we're really looking forward to Monaco because we have this like a really, really strong and in the low speed corner kind of car and in traction. And that didn't really go anywhere.
Yep. Well, let's. How about we go down head to head kind of thing? Go through all the teams and just highlight quickly.
Sure. I mean, Red Bull needs no introduction. Ferrari needs no introduction.
Well, let's give Checo his flowers. I guess we already did.
But... Yeah, exactly. Didn't we start on that?
Yeah, I think so, but
awesome for Checo. I was scrolling through social media earlier and I saw a compilation of all the Mexican newspapers where he was on page one. Great for him. Great for his family. Great for the country. Yeah.
also moving to Ferrari. So I'd give Checo the one up on Verstappen for the weekend because he was better.
Oh, for sure, he was better across the weekend in every scenario. Yeah,
which is rare.
Only very marginally, but he was.
Yeah, I mean, faster times and seemed more comfortable with the car. So
yeah.
And Ferrari, Leclerc obviously drove better over the weekend, I guess, from the factors you can take into account. But Sainz gets the props for not trusting the team and making his own call, I guess. And well done to him, honestly. Like, this is really good for him. I'm sure it really boosts his confidence. He's bummed
if Leclerc's strategy hadn't been such a disaster, Sainz would have been, like, I would have said this was a very solid drive from Sainz. It was just overshadowed by the negativity of the whole strategy situation.
I think Sainz had a really good result. Like, he can't really complain. I mean, he can complain with the time he lost on Albon, apparently. That may have changed things.
Yeah.
But, you know, still solid. He didn't give up three spaces.
Yeah.
So I guess I'd give Ferrari a tie there, but probably still edge it to Leclerc because he was bang, like he was crazy good.
Yeah, Leclerc had a good Friday and Saturday, but not a good
Saturday. His performance though was good. You can't kill him for the team.
Listen, in the end, he didn't overtake Verstappen. He didn't pull anything. He didn't even get fastest lap. So, you know.
Fair. But he was in a driver's train. That's why he couldn't have
gone. That's true. Yeah. Yeah, who knows? You have plenty of space to wrestle and behind him, you know, you could have given it a few seconds and just kind of banged on a few laps.
But no, okay, fair. I'll give it to Sainz too. I'll agree with that. Mercedes.
Yeah.
Russell out-qualified Lewis.
Russell outdid Hamilton in every metric. I don't think Hamilton had a bad weekend. I just think he got stuck in the race.
Yeah, behind Alonso. That kind of ruined his chances of going up higher. But he drove his race and got out-qualified, to be fair. Yeah. And Russell just had changed his name to Mr. Sunday instead of Mr. Saturday.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Still top five in every race, only driver to do so.
Yeah.
Continues. Good for him. I think Mercedes will have a strong weekend in Baku, to be honest.
So, you reckon?
I don't know. That's what the team are feeling. Monaco is kind of an exception, right?
They kind of had a bit of porpoising in Monaco now, you know?
Yeah, but Monaco is an outlier of a race.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? At least that's what everybody was saying on Spain. If your car works there, it'll work pretty much anywhere. And Monaco is an outlier anyway. So,
but Baku is a high speed track, you know, and high speed is where porpoising happens. And I think the Mercedes is on top of the porpoising, but we'll see how much is still there, you know. But it's a good call, actually. Yeah, maybe Mercedes is going to be up there in Baku.
Well, that's what they're saying. So I guess we'll find out.
Because they were quick in the speed traps in Spain. Norris, yeah, we've spoken about Norris. Good for him to get the fastest lap at the end. He was a bit whiny about the team, you know, not making decisions and like not fighting him with, or like not fighting, not putting him in a position to fight with strategy. But to be fair, he could have done what a few other drivers on the grid did and just told the team, yeah, no, we're doing this now, and you know.
Mind you, this guy has been suffering from hay fever, tonsillitis for the last two races.
Yeah, he's been sick.
And he's scored points on both of those occasions. Almost as many points as Ricardo has this whole season. And that is becoming even worse every race, it seems like, that comparison. Yeah. And it seems like Ricardo is on his way out. And I hope he changes it around. He gets a Monza, gets something like that to switch it up.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't seem to be working right now. And with the budget cap developments are being put into certain drivers, they're not always at the same time. Norris will get preferential treatment because he's doing better. So the gap is only going to expand in terms of car performance.
To be completely honest with you, I think we might see Ricciardo depart McLaren within this season if this doesn't get better.
You think they're going to bring Pato O'Ward over?
I don't care who they bring over. I think they might bring someone over, though.
That's a big statement. That would be even crazier than canceling his extra year.
Yeah, and a half year this season.
Yeah, that'd be nuts. The thing I think might happen is that Gasly takes over for next season if they don't switch him mid-season.
Yeah. Yeah, because Gasly's also not looking too happy in the AlphaTauri.
No, I think he will leave Red Bull because he only stayed at AlphaTauri for a Red Bull spot. And by the way, I forgot to mention this when we were at Red Bull. Perez let slip that he signed a contract in Spain.
Oh.
So, like, very low-key, and I'm sure Netflix caught it, so there'll be a thing on that eventually. But
yeah,
what he said after qualifying, or after the race, somehow to Horner, something about I signed too early, or like he wanted to do it after this race win. I don't know, something along those lines. But apparently that'll be announced at some point, and he has secured his future with Red Bull. Deservedly so, to be honest.
Interesting.
I think he's done better than Gasly.
In the Red Bull for sure. Yeah. Even last season.
Yeah. And Perez is very experienced. So, and he's lighting it up right now. Even last week in Spain. So again, cool for him. So I think Gasly to McLaren is a realistic option. What other teams do we have? McLaren, Alpine, I guess we can do next.
Alpine. Yeah, honestly.
Well, Alpine
had a really average weekend, you know. Both performed well, but they just didn't get the results in like they usually do.
Well, seventh is okay.
Seventh is good, you know. I'm not saying they did poorly. I'm just saying, you know, for how good they could have been, they were just average.
Yeah. Also, a very exciting race, but at the end of the day, still not much excitement in terms of like positioning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's that. But yeah, over the weekend, I think I'd give it to Alonso.
Oh, for sure.
Ocon took the penalty as well, his fault. So, good tactics from Alonso, I guess. I was hoping for more action because Vettel, Alonso, and Hamilton were starting together on the grid. So I was really hoping for a battle at the start, but you know that they kind of took that away for whatever reason. Not to make it too exciting.
Yeah.
But yeah, Alonso. And then where do we go next? Alpine.
AlphaTauri.
Yeah, we'll do the Alphas.
Gasly. Wow, pretty unexciting. Tsunoda, unexciting. Not much to say there.
Wow. Gasly had the best overtakes of the weekend. He had two very good moves.
Gasly qualified 17th and finished 11th.
For Monaco, that's huge.
Yeah, but it's not that huge.
Yeah, it is. He had the most overtakes or the highest positions up, I think. And Tsunoda had the most positions down. dropped through the field. He qualified well, and I think it lost a lot of time. Just not a great weekend for him.
Yeah, so Tsunoda had a moment where he outbroke himself into turn one or something, right?
Yeah, at least once. He also, fun fact, he causes a red flag, not Schumacher's crash.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because initially when his car was halved in the tech pros there, because it was mostly off track, they yellow flagged it. And later on, it turned into a red flag because, and this is another funny, we have to talk about race direction after this. Tsunoda's wheel cap fell off, but was in the road. And that's why they called the red flag.
Oh, that was that. Yeah. Was that at the same time?
That happened like right after, and that caused the red flag. That one part, but there's a car in half somewhere else, right on the roadside, and that's yellow flag.
Okay.
Very interesting decisions, because there was also a lot of like talk of why do you even first yellow flag? It was obvious that Schumacher's crash deserved a red flag because of the barriers and everything.
Yeah.
Because they had to be redone slightly. Anyway, obviously to Gasly because Tsunoda did terribly. I think Gasly should deserve some credit. He only qualified that far down because AlphaTauri fucked up in the qualifying. Like, they didn't let him out on time. He wasn't able to put in a final lap. That's why it was so far down.
Yeah.
Because he had to cross the finish line to start his flying lap, and he missed it by a second. And that was because when they let him out.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't really kill him for it. If he would have his pace in general through qualifying was way higher. It was like seventh or so.
Yeah.
So he would have had a good start and wouldn't have had to take the risky strategy that he did to get to 11th. So I think he did all right. Next up, Aston. Alfa Romeo.
Alfa. Yeah. I feel like, they both didn't do poorly. It was just, they didn't get the result, you know? I think they went into this weekend with a huge expectation and none of it really panned out.
Not to the degree of, I guess, what your expectation was going in, basing it off their comments. That's fair. I didn't read that about them, but I got to say, Valtteri Bottas, or at least his Instagram account, during the delayed race restart, where they then pulled the cars off the starting grid and back into the pit lane and put the tents up there, someone on his Instagram profile, on his private account, posted him from his, you know, picture that he was selling around, where he's like swimming in the Monaco curve of like a river, and like which I thought was hilarious, which was right before race begins, so he must have said okay to that. great
It's good commentary.
So Bottas obviously takes it. Joe's had bad luck and also not a great few races. His first race, he scored his first point, and since then he's gotten zero. I think he's also a good benchmark to compare with Mick this season, to be honest, because they're both running same engines, or at least very similar engines, and are both, you know, linked to Ferrari to some degree. So there must be some kind of like more even comparison there. And I do look at Mick more like a rookie this year than anything else.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe an advanced rookie, but Joe is still, but Joe is still beating Mick this season so far as well. If we want to extend that there, not just because of the 1 point, but he's not demolished his car like that twice. He's gotten unlucky with a couple DNFs where the cars failed or something. But he was relatively quiet. He had a probably the best save of the season so far.
Yeah, for sure.
To be honest, it looked pretty Tokyo really Drift. That was quite good. When he was trying to overtake Tsunoda. But overall, Bottas, really solid race for him as well. I mean, Monaco, you just stay there unless there's craziness, and the craziness didn't really affect the order of the cars. So
yeah,
props to him for keeping it in the points again.
Yeah. Aston, Vettel getting points, but losing his streak of finishing sixth or higher every year in Monaco for the past X years.
Well, with that car.
Yeah.
It is a brand new car, right? They completely altered it, and apparently it's better, but it's new. And Vettel made one mistake, I think, in the first lap into turn one, and he dropped from 9th to 11th, actually. And then
he pitted really early. Yeah.
Then he was just catching up, and he got 10th, so made the best out of it. Could have been more, but no comparison to Stroll, really, who
was absolutely nowhere.
Yeah, he didn't really get much TV time either. He was just like a ghost.
Yeah, and track. I think that's been with Stroll for a while now, you know. He isn't as game-alteringly bad as Latifi, but he's just nowhere.
Shout out to Latifi crashing on the fucking formation lap.
Yep. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
Race hasn't even started yet. And he goes, the car isn't working.
Yep.
It's not turning.
I just went on straight into the barrier. Well, yep. It's slippery.
So I guess we go on to Williams then next.
Yeah. Honestly, with them, there's really nothing to say. Albon had a shit weekend. Latifi had a shit weekend. Both of them influenced the end of the race a bit. So
Latifi finished 15th, which is probably one of his best finishes this season, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
he outdid Albon, which doesn't happen often.
He also, didn't he out-qualify him too? I think so,
I don't know.
I think actually, he did.
I think with becoming 15th, though, he might have overtaken Hülkenberg in the Drivers' Championship.
Well, that's something. Good for him, I guess.
Let me check that, actually. That's something I saw before the race, and I thought that was pretty funny. F1 driver standings. No, Hülkenberg's still ahead.
Ah, too bad. He will have to get another one of those then, or P14. Yeah. In any case, Latifi gets it by default, I guess, for finishing the race and, you know, not last.
Yep.
So there's that. But on to Haas, who are probably, after behind Ferrari, they have the biggest L of the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
They had a streak of never having double DNF'd. Always having double finished in Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
And they killed that streak by double DNFing.
Yeah.
Magnussen's car just failed. Had, I think, a leak of sorts. And Schumacher's car broke in half.
Yeah. Absolutely terrible for them.
So that was shit. Probably expensive. And Günther Steiner is not happy. But on the whole, K-Mag out-qualified Schumacher, not by much, but got to give it to him because he also didn't crash his car.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So for sure. There's that. So yeah, it's a nice little head-to-head rundown. Driver standings. We have...
not much changed, huh?
Verstappen first, Leclerc in second. I think they're 10 points apart now. Yeah, I think they're 10 points apart now. And Perez is 15 points back of Verstappen. Then we have Russell, 1 point ahead of Sainz, as far as I remember. And then there's a drop to Norris and then Hamilton, if I'm not mistaken. No, Hamilton is ahead of Norris. And the rest, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think much there has really changed, to be honest with you.
No.
Russell, where he is quite nice.
Yeah, but I think Sainz is going to overtake him soon.
He should. He should.
He should.
There's 100%. Every reason to.
Unless Mercedes is now amazing. That would be crazy. Because they're not that far off. In the what's more interesting right now is the constructors, if you open that real quick.
Ugh.
Because, okay, Red Bull obviously extended its lead.
Yeah, Red Bull quite comfortably ahead.
36 points.
Mercedes quite, or Ferrari quite comfortably ahead of Mercedes. Mercedes quite comfortably ahead of McLaren. McLaren quite comfortably ahead of Alfa Romeo.
However, Red Bull was about the same distance behind Ferrari as Mercedes.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely changeable, but so it's not.
Mercedes has clung on. People give them a lot of shit for how long it's taken for them to figure stuff out, but they're still, I mean, they're 100 points behind Red Bull. They're not going to, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. But Ferrari is still second place is still realistic.
Yeah.
So, and then McLaren, I think, is basically locked in fourth.
I got a draw pass as my fantasy team.
How is your fantasy team doing? I haven't even checked mine.
Not great, especially because I bought Haas as a team.
Oh, yeah.
They performed well originally.
You probably got minus points then from them.
Probably. I don't know if they do minus points, but I probably didn't get any points.
They do minus points.
Nice.
Yep. All right, so we have... the other topic I wanted to discuss is the stewards, which was just weird. A lot of the calls were odd.
From what I heard, it's the whole, you know, because they have more than one race director now, and it just sounded like they were in disagreements, you know. And that I agree that we need more than one. But if they're arguing and it costs time in the race, you know, and it potentially costs the race or safety of the race, you know, that's just not fun.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. The TV direction also didn't cut, like it missed two overtakes, which there's like only five in the whole race anyway. So what are you doing? We want to see the very little action there is. And the TV direction this year has not been that good. For Monaco specifically, the cameras used and everything, the whole setup was local, was track specific and track run. And there was some issue how that linked into the broadcast. I don't know, but often pictures were blurry, like cameras were pixeled. It wasn't great. And you'd figure that this huge business machine would pump as much money as needed into high quality entertainment to retain and, you know, grow fan base.
Well, I mean, the Monaco Grand Prix is a bit on, you know, is on the fence. And I mean, it was a really entertaining Grand Prix, but TV direction like this doesn't bode well for the future.
That's a fair point, actually. I think the gods made a big promotion for keeping the Monaco GP around by adding weather and crazy strategy calls and, you know, weather radars breaking and unpredictable weather, like all that stuff. Great. Great stuff to like have an exciting race. But then the Monaco GP people seem to work against it a little bit by trying to make the experience not as exciting. Also the stewards, it seemed like, at least.
Just the
way decisions flowed and things happened. But
yeah.
I think Monaco deserves to stay. It's just cool, even if you're watching it on TV, to see the state of the city. of the vibe it's in, the excitement. It's different than other circuits.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree that it should stay.
And it's one of those tracks where you can compare drivers of all generations because they've been racing there for 100 years.
Yeah.
So you can always compare all the great drivers you want, anybody on that racetrack, because it's one of the most difficult ones to drive. So
yeah, I mean,
it's nice to have a track to appreciate raw skill and driving.
I think Monaco is so used to having high bargaining power, and now they just don't have it anymore, and they probably want favorable terms, whereas Formula One isn't that ready to give those anymore, you know. So we'll see how it goes.
I'm sure they'll come to agreement.
It'd be a shame if it went away, to be honest with you, but we'll see how it goes. I just hope they don't try to sell Vegas as the new Monaco or some stupid shit like that.
No, Vegas, no. Like, nice race, Vegas, but no.
Yeah.
I've heard suggestions that people want to, or that there's an idea to have a deal between Monaco and Vegas that they alternate every 2 years, which I think is terrible. Because it's F1 pushing their own owned event into it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I like that. But I guess we'll find out soon because there's not much time left and the deals have to close soon. So we'll figure that out. Anyway, in 2 weeks, we have Baku.
We're in Baku, yeah. That'll be fun.
That'll Baku's be a good race. Yeah. That's a track that when initially introduced, people were like, oh, this is going to be so boring. And the first race,
entertaining ever since.
And I think the very first race was not so nice. It was just pretty straightforward. And every race since, as you said, has just been nuts. So the chances are high. And the way the season has gone, I mean, Spain was exciting. Monaco was exciting. What will an exciting track bring? I'm very excited for Silverstone. That'll be a good one as well.
Yeah.
But what are your predictions for Baku then?
Yeah. Red Bull 1-2.
Rest of the field, like top six?
Oh. I'll say Verstappen, Perez. I'm going very safe here. Verstappen, Perez, I'll call it Russell, Hamilton, Sainz.
Wow, bad weekend for Ferrari?
Bad weekend for Ferrari, yeah.
Okay. So Leclerc will finish fifth or sixth?
Sixth.
Do you want to say why?
No, I'm pulling this out of my ass. I just think Ferrari isn't in a good position. I think Leclerc's doubting, Ferrari's doubting.
Okay, I think it's a...
Actually, Baku does have a... Well, no, Baku's a very, very track. Yeah, no, go ahead.
I'm going to go for Perez, Verstappen, Leclerc, Norris, Russell, Sainz.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think Norris is going to be healthy and pull a great one.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
I'd like to see Perez get another win. Not going to lie. But no, I really want to see Sainz win. Like, that would be good. Those four, it would be good if Sainz and Checo both got a win this season.
Yeah, but I just don't think the Ferrari is going to be that strong overall in Baku. They're going to have a good middle sector, but one and two are going to be Red Bull sectors, just full on.
Yeah, no, I do think Red Bull has the advantage. It's crazy that after the season we had last year, 1-2 finishes are becoming a thing again. Kind of seems like we haven't seen them in a while. But then again, Mercedes had a bunch of them. They had a season, I think we looked up, that had a 70% 1-2 finish rating per race.
Listen, Mercedes, as much as everyone's like, oh yeah, I want to see Mercedes perform, I am not unhappy that Mercedes isn't up in the top five, right? I've been watching Formula One continuously, or more or less continuously, including the turbo hybrid era. You know, I've seen 6 years of 7 years of Mercedes domination. I'm good.
Agreed. Them challenging for a title is great, but not the dominance.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, that was our wrap-up of Monaco and, I guess, predictions for Baku. We'll probably forget about revisiting those predictions by the time
we record. Oh, for sure. We always do. We always do.
So I'm sure I got all my predictions right for this Monaco race.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be exciting.
All right.
Anyway, we'll be back next week with a cool guest on the podcast. Enjoy that. Enjoy your week until then. And thanks for listening.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye. Au revoir.